Since tomorrow's Valentine's Day, I just had this crazy idea to do something a little bit different than what we normally do and just talk about relationship things. Because, see, in the talking and discussing about relationship things, it really doesn't matter whether that relationship is with our spouse or with somebody else in the congregation or whomever. We all have relationship things to deal with in our life. And so we want to just speak a little about those things and learn some practical things. Just sometimes practical things about it can make a huge difference, because in even the simple things, it sometimes can give you the endurance that a relationship needs. Every relationship should have the endurance, the ability to go the distance. And sometimes we short-circuit that because we don't understand how to communicate. We don't understand how to deal with one another. Those are kind of issues that just wanted to speak about a little bit tonight. Now, if I can give you one piece that has made my 38 years of marriage work, and that was this. The one thought, I had one correct thought when I got married. And that was probably the only correct thought I had when I got married. Because everything else about me getting married was really about me and not about her. Okay, so that was one of the things that you, when you're in a relationship, you should be in a relationship not just for me, but you should be intending for the other person. But that wasn't the actual, that was just an added bonus, because that wasn't the actual piece of information, because I didn't do that piece of information. I didn't know that piece of information. The thing that the thought that I had after meeting her and sharing with her is I recognized that there was something about this relationship that I had a comfortability, a ability to just have a fellowship and friendship that I had never experienced with any other person. And in that, what I decided in my heart was, this is the person that I want to grow old with. And see, when I began to see that and I began to hold that in my heart, it made things work that I didn't understand the power of that thought. But that thought is a very, very powerful thought, because see, if I'm in it for the long run, now I can look over things that happened in the short run. You know, most of the things that you get mad about aren't even an issue next week, much less next month, next year, 5 years from now. Most of the things that happen, most of the things that people blow up about and get separated about in the grand scheme of things wasn't even an issue. But it becomes an issue because we allow things to build up on it. But if I'm looking to grow old with this person, if I'm looking to grow old with them, then I will bypass those short-sighted insights and those short-sighted thoughts and look for something that's going to take the distance. Now, it was interesting that when I shared that with the first service, one service, and then Tracy was back there at the back, and she goes, check. I grow old with, check. It's like, but here's here's the next thing. That's why I had you open to Matthew 6. It says, do not lay up, I'm sorry, for verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, that's an offering message, and that's an actual offering message. But it's also where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's what are you investing yourself in? He was speaking earlier, what are you sowing into? Because when we begin to treasure our spouse, when we begin to treasure this other person that we're having a relationship with, and it doesn't matter what the nature of that relationship with, if I begin to treasure Mike now, then I'm laying up a treasure in him, and therefore my heart is get connected with him. If I begin to treasure Tim, my heart can get connected with him. Well, that's a little tougher maybe for some than others, but so. But if I begin to treasure it, if I begin to see what are you willing to sow into in your relationship? It's not only just about, see, we have these relationships here, but we also have a relationship here. And in the same things that we're learning to do to treasure God, the things we're learning to do to focus in and sow into this relationship with the Father is also how we begin to relate with one another. Sometimes you're the initiator, and other times someone else, the other person might be the initiator, but it's okay. In other words, there's somebody who's going to be sowing in, and ultimately, in a marriage, it should be both sides who are willing to go the distance for the other person. We said,
amen.
See, when we begin to love outside of ourselves, we begin to love outside of ourselves in spite of the keys that were locked. Hallelujah. All right, we'll leave that one alone. Because God was looking for all of us, not just in this relationship with Him, but also for us to have this relationship with people. Because as we begin to invest in the people around us, now we can actually reap a harvest at some point in time out of that relationship. Why? Because God has designed relationship to be something that's affirming to us. The marriage, in other words, the more time that I spend with Kim, the more time that I'm vulnerable and open with her, she knows every secret and every ugly thing that I've done. Don't look at me like that. She knows any of the major stuff, and even if I think about the other stuff, I let her know. But my point is that when we have that vulnerability, I also have true acceptability. I can't have true acceptability unless I've already experienced the vulnerability and been accepted in it. See, when I was in high school, my greatest attribute was I knew how to be a chameleon. I could be whatever you needed me to be. Now, because I could look at it, I could figure out what people were looking for. Now, the only problem was, if I was in a large group of people, it's really hard to do that. So I tended to single people out and then work with them and, you know, over here in this corner instead of doing it all. Because I learned how to relate to people, but I was never being me. And if I'm never being me, I can never be accepted. And ultimately, that especially those primary relationships in our life, especially our spouse, we should be someone that we can be accepted with regardless of what we've done. Because see, Heavenly Father already models it for us. Everything we're doing is really just duplicating what He's already shown us. And we're taking what we're learning with Him, and then we're applying it to others in our life. So we're allowing Him to sow into this, and we're allowing Him to be a part of this transition and this transaction that we have with our most important relationships. So here's another thing, okay? I don't know. There's a little term that Richard Money coined many years ago called aggressive fellowship. Aggressive fellowship. I don't know if anybody wants to raise their hands of whether or not they've been involved in aggressive fellowship. But see, sometimes we are, you know, that has happened in our life. I know it has never happened in Pastor LaRue and Anna's life, because they're the pattern that we all look after. But aggressive fellowship is something that can happen. But see, here's the deal, is we need to learn how to communicate in those moments. Okay? How to communicate in those moments. When we're in this aggressive fellowship, it's important for us to say what's really the matter. We get all involved in talking about the shirt that got shrunk rather than talking about what our heart is.
Wow.
You didn't have to give yourself away. No one else would have known that unless you gave yourself away. Did you? Rock on. In other words, we get caught up in talking about a problem that's really not the issue. Okay, because the issue is, how did it really affect your heart? What's wrong in your heart? And oftentimes, we're so busy talking about the problem, we're not actually communicating the thing that's wrong in our heart. And if we never communicate the thing that's wrong in our heart, the other person has no spot, probably doesn't have a chance to even respond to it, because they never knew. Case in point, we ministered to a couple yesterday, and there were some things that were going on, and there was a lot of change and a lot of upheaval in their life. They were just basically looking to get married, but decided not to. Well, one of the things that happened in that was that she moved, and then had to move again, and she wound up with her bed just like laying on the floor for 6 months, because it was always supposed to be a temporary thing. Well, very unsettling for her. Most females are looking for safety. Most men want honor and respect. She, because of her very temporary living situations, did not feel like she could nest in that. She did not feel safe, because there was no way for her to get settled in this situation. But see, that's not what got communicated. What got communicated was a lot of other things, but not, I don't feel safe like this. And he, on his part, didn't understand that, hey, if I just go set up that bed, that's going to actually fix something for her. He could have and would have done that, but he didn't understand her need, because she never communicated it. At the same time, because she was frustrated with that and she started going off on him on some certain things, then he just felt like he wasn't being supported. He wasn't being honored. And so he backed up from the relationship. All it really took was for either one of them to actually be vulnerable with the other and express their true heart. And when they could do that, because see, both of them in this situation are very, very dedicated Christian people. They just didn't know how to express. No one wanted to take that first step to be vulnerable. See, in a relationship, we have to take the step past fear. We can't let fear dictate how we're going to do relationship. We can't let fear dictate how we're going to respond with our spouse. You're off the hook. You're just married. You get a pass. So we can't let fear dictate our responses. We can't let fear say how we're going to interact in this relationship. Because, see, when we do that, now we're already automatically short-circuiting what God can do. And we're automatically putting ourselves in a place where we feel less safe. And if I feel less safe, then I'm going to be less vulnerable. And if I'm going to be less vulnerable, I'm going to be backing out. And the next thing you know, you're totally separated and you don't even know why. The communication thing is so important that there was one couple that I ministered to that would, all that they had, everything that they had done, they were here and they were already in the process of divorce. In other words, they had already filed the papers, the thing was already moving along, and they thought, well, we'll just take one stop because somebody said, they sent them over here and they said, we'll sit down and we'll talk with you. Well, we started backtracking. I started talking to them about how to communicate. And as I talked with them about how to communicate, then we just role-played a given scenario that they had experienced. I said, well, just tell me about a recent thing where things kind of blew up. And we went back and we role-played it. And as we role-played it, she began to say what she had said in that moment. And he stopped and he like just stared at her. Because he said, you said this, I heard this. Which was something that was like 180 degrees from what she said. And he said, so then he started responding to what he heard. And then she started responding because he's attacking me now. So now I'm going to bring in my ammo. And they started packing on. All of this divorce happened because one word was misheard. So when you have something important to convey with someone, you want to sit there and you want to begin to look them in the eye and you tell them what is actually in your heart, the important thing, and then you tell them face to face, but then you give them an opportunity to repeat it back to you. When I'm telling him, now here's the next thing, and I won't look at anybody in particular, give them 25 words or less. Give them 25 words or less. If you have something super important to convey, condense it down to the 25 most significant words that you can say. Because if I go off on somebody for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 minutes, which I have seen, they're not going to remember any of it. They can't synthesize out of a 20-minute dialogue what you really were trying to convey. But if we give them 25 words, and those words are the words that are carrying value, those are words that are actually carrying what your real heart is, now you've given them an opportunity to respond to you. And when I'm with couples, I teach them to actually repeat it back what you heard. Because if that couple had just repeated back what they heard, he would have repeated back what he heard, and she could have gone, "Oop, no." I had another couple, a young couple, they had been married 3 months when they showed up here. And we were working on the dialogue about how to do those things. And during that they took a little vacation and they went on the vacation, and when they got back, I said, "How was it?" And they said, "It was wonderful. We had a fight." That wasn't quite the result that I was looking for. But they said, when we went on a vacation, they got somewhere, and I don't know, there was some issue with the hotel or whatever, and so they got into a tiff on Friday night, so then they spent Saturday not talking to each other on vacation. And then on Sunday, they went to church, and the guy began to speak about these kind of discussions that they were having, and they just both felt this you know, condemnation a little bit, but also a conviction in their heart. And then they said, "We started talking to each other and applying the things that you've been telling us. And we worked through it. And we're stronger for it. And I found that we're more in love now than we were before." Why? Because they learned how to trust each other. See, when we have aggressive fellowship, the object in that fellowship is not to win, but to love. It can be, but trust me, I was one who, you know, basically, if I'm in an argument, I was going to win. It didn't matter. It wasn't a matter of anything else. It was just a matter of that. This is, you got, you know, I'm right, so therefore everything else is wrong. I know I should be so ashamed, but I've already repented, so I said. And so, not alone. You're right too? Is that what you're trying to tell me? See, here's the thing that we need to understand is that there's a right way to do it. Go to 1 Timothy 1:5. There's a right way to do this. Because conflict is going to happen in your life. Has anybody ever experienced conflict? Has anybody ever experienced conflict? Am I in the right church? Okay, has anybody ever been in conflict? Okay, see, conflict, that's what we have to understand. Conflict's not a bad thing. If you choose to do it well. If you choose to do it in love. If you choose to learn from it and at the end of the day, you want the other person to know that they are loved and valued. Here it says in 1 Timothy 1 and 5, it says, the goal of our instruction is love. The goal of our instruction is love. But see, what he was talking about here was men who were given to contention. And so when the goal of the contention is love, at the end of the day, I want you to know that you're loved, that you're valued. Now then, there's no one who's going to lose in that kind of a situation. You're both going to win. Why? Because both of you come out being affirmed. Now, it's impossible for two people to always agree about everything. It's just not going to happen. But you can come to a place where you honor and respect one another, even in the difference. Matter of fact, I've come to rely on the differences between Kim and I. I look to those differences. I want to hear what she has to say in certain situations, because sometimes my judgment can be clouded because I tend to be a little bit soft-hearted more than I should be in some situations. But Kim hears things. She has a very prophetic gift, and she hears things clearly. I know I can rely on that. I know I can rely on the wisdom that God has put in her heart. So if I have a disagreement, I have to be open to hear. Open to learn. That doesn't always come easy in the middle. If my goal is to win, yeah, I'm not going to hear anything. But if my goal is to love, I can make adjustments. And I can hear reason. Amen? You want to jump up yet? I've got more I can share, but I don't want to hog all the time.
You're going to hog that mic. No, just kidding. Now, that was so outstanding, Pastor Chuck. That was so, so good and outstanding. So many golden words of wisdom. And it was queuing up so many things for me, and I hope so for you also. Because when you consider how from the very beginning we've been created for companionship, for relationship, and the first and the most important is with the one who created us, because he knows everything about us, and with one another. And it began with a man, Adam, and it began with a woman, Eve, and that has been passed down. And because of this companionship, there can be sometimes where there's been misunderstandings in marriages and relationships, and there can be conflict that can be unresolved. And instead of being completely honest about those situations and just really compressing it and stuffing it, and you know, when you're honest, you have to be able to own the emotions. You have to be able to go, oh, you know, what am I feeling? Because each generation, even in the past two or three generations, each has been influenced by culture. And way back in the time, probably, I don't know, 40s, 50s, you know, there were many men would just, don't show any emotion, you know, suck it up. And, you know, it's like, control it. And many women also maybe didn't see that, you know, of some of us who are women now with our parents. So we're progressively learning how to be connected with not only our body, our soul, and our spirit with God, but he's helping us because, as Sharon was saying earlier, there's so many times we internalize stress and fear and try to be a people pleaser. And where do I belong? And, you know, where's my tribe? Where's my family? You know, the storge. You've got the Philadelphia, which is the brethren love. You've got the love that is the eros. And so much of that is dominating today because that's the sexual, sensual. And often that is what begins many relationships, without allowing that which is spiritual to be the first that leads and guides the relationships that God has brought together as a covenant. So many times people make these mistakes and step into marriages and don't even think, because many times there's just the immaturity. But with maturity comes wisdom. And with that wisdom and sensitivity to Holy Spirit and not just our own hurts all the time and lashing back out and you're stuffing it to go, I'm fine, everything's okay, and walk away and you're dealing with that. But if you're like going and saying, listen, honey, that hurt my feelings when you spoke to me so harshly like that, or, you know, were blaming me when it really wasn't something that I did, you know, that displaced anger. But the end is the agape love. And that's that mature love. That's that, when you're talking about investment, self-sacrifice, looking to the need of the other one. And many divorces take place because one's needs weren't met. Not being aware of how to be one who seeks to surprise their spouse and bless them and be there for them, support them. Men need the respect. Women need safety and security. Your men need that sexual intimacy. Your women, they need communication. And many times, and I've told this to my honey, I just said, I go, wait a minute. I don't think he was listening. Sometimes you think that you can be multitasking, you know. Oh, yeah, I heard this and this and this and this. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I want to talk to you. Sorry. Let me just put this over here and put this over here. Put the TV on, pause, you know, because it takes that. So you don't feel like you're being neglected or rejected. And it's not, because if you don't deal with these things, you'll be more hypersensitive the next time. Oh, you hurt my feelings. You know, and you're like, lash out, because you didn't address it honestly. And I have many, many things I had to work out in myself, because sometimes I'm fine, but I wasn't being honest. You know, I forgive you. I do. I forgive you, but I'm still kind of upset. Because you didn't really necessarily talk through it. So it can begin to build up a little bit. So but when you begin to, and no man wants a wife that's going to just be overly sensitive all the time. And that's how with us we're learning and all together just taking and exchanging all the anxiety, all the fear, all the stress to the Father. So you're not taking it out on the one you love, so that if they're just like blowing up on you and you're like, bye, I'm going this way. I'm going out shopping, you know, shopping therapy, you know. And often instead of in the middle of that aggressive fellowship, hit the pause. I mean, breathe. Take a moment. Time out. Take a moment. Back up. Go talk to the Lord. Why am I feeling so upset about this? Why, you know, I mean, women are, and men are, we have emotions, but he's not saying to, like, block them or control them. It's like, identify with what you're feeling, because God wants harmony with your body, your soul, and your spirit. And the way you express yourself with the one that God has for you, it's going to be spiritually, you know, the more that you seek after the word, your mind is going to become transformed, and you're going to have more agreement about your values and about your belief system. If everything goes, every philosophy of man, and, you know, I mean, whoa, that's some, like, very trying ways to try to come into agreement, because everyone's going to believe whatever you want to believe. But when you believe the word, there is more compatibility. And then also with the emotions, when you express yourself, and if you find yourself just burying them and repressing them, that volcano will come up. And you'll sometimes just, it'll go on anyone that's like in your vicinity. Yes, it's like, okay, you know, it's like, and when it's daily surrendered, there's nothing that's going to be, you know, backlogged. And you're not going to just blame the first one. Get out of my way when you're at a line or, you know, at the store or something's not going your way. But it's just really, when we begin to understand and be connected with the emotions, I mean, many younger people today are way too emotional. It's like you, like, get upset about everything. I didn't get my way, because there's a lot of just huffing and puffing because they want this microwave fast. Give me, give me, give me. I'm not talking about you two, because you two are very, very mature and seeking after God. And if you need help, you have counselors that are here that are going to continue to be there to have your back and support you and bring you to the Father. And that goes for any relationship with everyone here and those that are listening, because we need that wisdom of the counselors. And, you know, intimacy comes by being honest and owning those feelings and not trying to, exactly, transparent, you know, that, not trying to deny them or hide from them or pretend that didn't happen, because many times that happened when we were young, possibly traumatized. We've dealt with that a lot, where violations took place when one was little, so that there's this breach of trust. And it's like, okay, just the renewal of all that. Coming into the present and leaving everything else behind, because then you're brand new every day. So with that intimacy, it's just always being willing to start a new day, a new beginning with each new day. Not, you know, sometimes he's like, my husband, we've been married almost 21 years in April. Well, I told you I loved you when we got married. You know, I mean, you were the one. I chose you. It is settled. It's finished. You know. Okay, another one is humor. Okay, let me just throw that out there. Truly, if things get a little tense and there's tension and maybe you're not agreeing about something or somebody got huffy and puffy, it's not taking the bait and getting huffy and puffy back. It's like really using humor, because humor is a weapon. Because many times we want to just, like, you know, be right, like Pastor Chuck. And it's like, I'm right. No, do it my way. No, your way doesn't work. My way, you know, there's so much creativity. There's so many ways we could do any given thing. But, you know, there's also that term of negotiation and even compromise. You think about companionship, you know, being that one who enjoys company and just compromising. It's all about communication. It's all about relationships that are going to be healthy, and it does require investments of your time, of your money, of your being inconvenienced and saying, okay, I'm needed over here. And, you know, again, taking that moment to just put it on pause and saying, okay, this is more important than what I'm doing right this minute. Because sometimes we're in the middle of something, and it makes it a little difficult to stop what we're doing because we may have a flow. So if that is the case, just step back, let that person finish their flow, right? Not just, I need you now, unless it's like a real urgent matter, but just giving some sense of knowing what's going on in the situation, you know, because then you're thinking about the other person rather than, come here now, I've got a computer problem and I need to fix it now and it's not turning on. You know, where's the button that turns it on? I'm just kidding. So that said, many people have a hard time with, like I said, their emotions, because it could be their fear of conflict, fear of communicating, fear of being real, being honest, fear of being rejected, fear of being weak. But the thing about humility, so attractive. It has the reverse effect of what we think when we're trying to protect ourselves and say everything's okay when it's maybe not okay. When you want to really just, you know, pull your hair out or pretend that that thing did not happen or something was said. But it takes really the time, investing that time. And one of the things I would speak to with my honey about, it's like, listen to me with your heart, not just with your ears, you know. And he's a great listener. I mean, he could get so many things done. And men are like doers, task-oriented, but women need that. It's all about you right now, honey. And even the children, it's all about you right now, honey. Right, Sandy? It's like, we need to hear that. So I was going to do some, I had a few notes that were a little even more on the practical side as far as what a man needs and how to show him, showing your husband that he's your number one. And for those that are believing for their spouses that may not be married right now, because we're learning from every moment of living life in this journey called life, you know, whether mistakes or feeling things didn't work out, and it's like, why? But he's learning. I mean, he's teaching us, and we're learning how to truly find our complete confidence in him. And in that, then you can be fulfilled as an individual and not, like many people try to say, half a person. You know, it's like, oh, the two became one, but it's like you're one with him. And it's like then you have what is needed to make them feel respected, to make them feel love, to make them feel like they're number one, not embarrassing or degrading them publicly, not putting them down, whether in front of the children. It's like that unity together, being in agreement. And, you know, kids are really crafty. They can try to work the parents against one another. So it's like, okay, no, you know, Lori's got my back, I've got his back. And it's always been like that. Showing interest in his hobbies. My husband's taken up golf again. So he is loving it. And so I love it for him, because getting outside, fresh air, that time of companionship with his friends, his buddies, it's like being able to just decompress, you know, like Sharon was saying with, you know, David, or, you know, anyone from the Bible who would take that time without all this static and chaos and all this stress and fear in the world and, you know, all these media means of just invading your space. And, you know, you look at it, whoa, shut that down, you know. I was doing the same thing. It's like, separate me from the systems of the world. And you have these cares and burdens of the things that I look on, because some of those forms are just trying to invoke and provoke continuous fear and anxiety. So when we disconnect from the world and just take those times to decompress, I don't have to do everything he's doing, because I can have my hobbies and enjoy some of the things that I enjoy. And so doing something unexpected, surprising them, picking up something from the bakery, making them some good, like, special meals. And I've become a really good cook lately. I've been enjoying it. You know, before it was so hard. It's like, oh, my chicken and dumplings homemade, right? Those were like the bomb. And, I mean, I've been having fun throwing stuff in. Before it was like, oh, I don't know. Is this too much work? Somebody's going to have to help me clean up. So, you know, here's the paper plates. You know, amen, sister. So be yourself. As Pastor Chuck was saying, it's like at one point, and often it's like in high school, you're trying to fit in somewhere because you need that companionship, and there's power in, you know, having a friend or somebody with you rather than always being alone, because we weren't created to be alone. I think that's what's so beautiful about the house here. It's like everyone's really so loving with one another, because we are family, and we recognize that. And there is those acts of service and investing in one another and showing love. And here, let me bring you some candy or some cookies, and just those surprises that take place because we're following the Spirit. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's so great. You know, I was craving that. I mean, it's those little things here, even within the family and the phileo, that friendship love, letting things go. Just letting things go, truly letting things go from the heart, taking care of him, not nagging, you know, I want you to do this and go do that. And it's like, okay, it's not that important. It will happen. Like letting things go, trusting them, not giving any thought to the reasonings of the mind, because even the enemy will try to come in and give you reason not to trust one another. But I know that when we were brought together, we had eyes on each other. And I've always had this confidence of his love and devotion to me, as well as mine to him. And when you have that, there's security in that, that you know this is what God's brought together. And being willing to call him out, okay? When you call him out, when he's been wrong, not letting him walk all over you or take advantage of your kindness and goodness and your breakfast in bed. Because I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Honey, ding, 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 ding. You know, I'd like some pancakes and some eggs. And I'm kidding, you know. But nevertheless, it's like a cup of coffee is great or something, you know, even small. But being willing to do those little special things. Right, Tara? Stop trying to change him. Stop trying to change him. Because God's got his number and God's got your back. So, you know, he's going to be there with you. Trying to change him into something else, but trusting that God is working within him and will completely and fully address those things. Because, I mean, he's practically perfect. He's almost come into alignment with that that list that I wrote of my dream man. There's a couple of things that I'm still praying into, but it's taken a long time. Trust me, but it's okay. Grace, grace, and grace. And I cannot tell you how many people have said, Anna, you are perfect for LaRue. Because it takes a lot of love, a lot of patience, and a lot of grace to love someone who's such an alpha and such an insanely, intensely focused person. It's like, whoa, okay, we're all going to go together, you know. And I'm loving it because the kids are like jumping on the train. So it's like a whole family thing. And all of us, he's an outstanding leader. Yeah, awesome husband, awesome dad, awesome spiritual father. And you know that I love him with all of my heart. No reservations. Although I do have to kind of kick him once in a while. You know, come here, call him out. So, I mean, there's a few other things I can say. tell him you love him. Show him you love him. Take care of him. I haven't even gotten to the women's side. Maybe I need to go over that. Let's do that. Be understanding. Lighten up. Take care of yourself. You know, I mean, you're carrying an atmosphere. Don't go, you know, oh, it's such a tiring day. So glad you're home. Can you clean those dishes? Please help me. Can you do this? You know, it's like, you know, there's just that joy to make them want to be with you and have fun and keeping it real and not just carrying everything on your shoulders and being angry about it and just thinking that they're going to know what you want them to do, like a mind reader. Well, you wait 3 or 4 days and you're like seeing that thing over there that you asked them to do. And every time you look at it, like Pastor Chuck was talking about, some of the bed not being made because they're waiting to get married. And, you know, the things, you know, that can cause you tripping over it because it's like so obvious to the woman, because many women are very detailed or even orderly or administrative and keep the home where it's comfortable and neat. But it's like, okay, those shoes have been there for a week. You know, those socks, it's like, pick them up and just know that they know that you love them with all your heart. And that they're going to go, oh, honey, what can I do for you? Oh, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. What do you want to do, honey? So with the ladies' need, that you treat her like a lady. And you treat her like a lady, like the love of your life. You surprise her and make her laugh. You defend her and protect her, make her feel safe and make her feel secure. And that's not just me, but the young ladies, you know, those that have the daughters. I mean, it's what the ladies need, feeling safety and protection. Tell her that you love her. Show her that you love her. With affection, that is not always going to be, whoa, baby, but it's going to be, whoa, baby, you know, just those hugs, and, you know, that is what sows into her heart. Show your appreciation. Show her your appreciation. Should I say it again? Show her your appreciation in the ways that when you thank her and smile and see and acknowledge it. Maybe I should just, like, finish the rest of the house, you know? No, just kidding. This is for everybody. This is just words of wisdom. Be calm. Be the calm one. Just staying calm. Like I said, just taking that moment. And this is any relationship, you know, with these conflicts coming up. And going, okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn about this? How can I minister to my loved one here, my friend? How can I minister to my child? How can I minister to my boss? You know, it's just staying in that place of being calm and hearing from God. It's like, what do you want me to do about this situation? And forgiveness, quick forgiveness. Quickly forgive. Out of the heart, we know that flushes and cleanses all the contamination and all of the anxieties. and complain very minimally. Okay? Don't moan, don't groan about things. Because, you know, criticism can be very delicate. But it's got to be when we speak something in need, we may have speaking truth in love. That goes so far. Speaking out of that uplifting way of building one another up. And never taking one for granted. So I think that kind of covers this in terms of just learning to be authentic with one another, meeting one another's needs, being intuitive and anticipating and surprising the one you love. And that could be anybody. It could be a little child that you're teaching, and it could be a loved one, a friend. It's like investing in them. And the one that you love the most is the one that God's called alongside you. And that companionship is God's heart and his desire. So, Pastor Chuck, did you want to add anything else or bring a closure to it? Okay. Anything else? You want to add something? Anybody else want to add some words of wisdom?
Amen. She did amazing. Let's give the Lord a hand. Wow. That was a skilled surgeon there. I don't know if you know how she would cut, heal, cut, heal, cut, heal. She applied just enough.
Okay, were you listening with your heart?
Yes. Did you get it all out, baby? That was my Valentine's gift to you, to listen publicly. Praise God. That was really good, though. It flowed out amazing. Lots of wisdom there. Let's give the Lord glory. Lots of wisdom. Glory to God forever. Forever. See, my issue probably, she probably deals with more than anything, is I am intensely focused on whatever I do. That's a good thing when it's going up in the right hand of God. It's not always a good thing when you're in life sometime, because literally people could talk to me, and if I am intensely just somewhere, I can't hear them, and they think they can get their feelings hurt, and they think, he didn't even listen to me, and I wasn't even there. I was somewhere else, and you know, we all have our things. That's mine. And I think even Justin, we went to play golf on Sunday, and my game wasn't really on at all. And I think Justin was wanting to talk about ministry, and I don't think I heard him, though. And it's like you do that because you get somewhere else. But that focus, it's a great thing when you're going up in God, because you can just lock in and move up. But a lot of times when you're locked into something and some people around you, you can't hear what they're saying, and you got to be able to detach sometime. And that's something I'm learning to work on is, okay, I got to detach, you know, when I'm out in reality, you know, I have to detach the focus and lighten up a little bit on the focus thing. But we all have our issues. Amen. Amen. But let's thank God for Anna and Chuck tonight. That was awesome. That was amazing. Glory to God. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the wisdom tonight. Thank you for allowing us to see, Father, even in the relationship realm, to see, Father. I just tell you, the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to you. If we can just see what they're saying, if you can see, a lot of times somebody can be telling you, but you can't hear them. You got to lower the veil to be able to hear them. You got to lower the defense mechanism to be able to hear. You got to lower. Amen. You got to lower the veil so you can receive, Father. We thank you for teaching us how to receive. Amen. Amen.